Could be, but you know me. You want some?
Yeah.
You're good. Self-discipline. Wow, I like that. I like that in a woman, but in a man, I'm not so sure. Okay. It's all right.
He's dead.
I four women, yes. Yes, I understand that. Go for it. All right. Yeah.
Hi, can't be, I'm not sure we've formally met.
Well, I mean.
Nice to meet you.
All right.
I was at a seminar at the end of the day. Did you make one for the mayor?
He's from.
Mary, are you almost ready?
Not that I should be, you know, I appreciate it.
Okay.
Oh, I need to get my reading glasses on.
I did this before the amendment came up. I do want to use it as a.
Hey there.
Hello, Mayor.
How can we read that before the meeting starts?
Thank you for reading that, my dad. I think I've got all sorts of copies.
Okay, Mayor, call the meeting to order. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mary?
Mary, will you call the roll, please?
Cluder?
Yes.
Alfred?
Here.
Duber?
Here.
Barron?
Here.
Klein?
Here.
Braverman?
Here.
Perry?
Here. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, residents of Waterford Court, if you're here. I see some new faces, so I presume. We invite you to participate in our discussion a little bit later tonight, but when doing so, we request that you not make comments from your seat, but step up to the microphone and make your comments. Our meetings are recorded, although they are not the best quality yet, but we do our best to try to preserve the record in this way. So our first order of business tonight is a discussion of ordinance number 2013-22 as amended, an ordinance authorizing the mayor to enter into an agreement with Lewansky Development LLC for development of real property in the village and related services. Mr. Goss, would you like to catch us up with what's happened since we last met?
Certainly. Good evening. Members of council, when we were last here discussing this issue about a month ago, you asked that we provide a revised draft of the agreement to address issues you raised regarding the ability to subsequently amend this document, particularly as it relates to the rights of the third-party beneficiaries, which are solely the residents of Waterford Court. And we, in the interim, have provided you with a revised draft of that, of the development agreement, which includes language that expands considerably the means by which this document gets amended, and the provisions that are defined as the third-party beneficiary provisions. There are some other issues that have come up in the interim. We have not further revised the agreement. And I know a couple members of council also have some additional comments regarding the agreement. What I thought would be useful to kind of guide the discussion, or at least attempt to guide the discussion, would be to build from the amendment issue and talk about that, since that was your primary concern last time. The council for the developer has some additional revisions to the agreement that they would like to discuss regarding the landscaping and mound on the PD6 parcel, and then I think it would be useful to obviously allow yourselves to discuss any additional issues. So that's kind of my broad plan. Obviously, the conversation will go where the conversation goes, but for purposes of creating some goal or some guidance, I thought discussing the amendment would probably be the place to start. I'm not sure how to guide that conversation other than to say, if you have comments, questions, obviously I can weigh in on any questions you have. I don't know at what point you want to.
Yeah, well, let's start with a review of kind of our thinking, and I could try to delineate that, or you can, whichever you would like, Mr. Gossow.
Sorry. So when we, last month, as council discussed this agreement, the primary issue that came up was the means by which the document could be amended and what sorts of rights the residents of Waterford Court would have to weigh in on amendments that are essentially affect them by the terms of the agreement, and those are what we call the third-party beneficiary agreements. As the agreement had previously been drafted, it essentially allowed, it required all of the residents of Waterford Court to approve any amendment to the third-party beneficiary provisions. At the last meeting, several members of council, perhaps all the members of council, I don't recall, raised varying levels of concern about that. Among other things were comments along that, you know, you didn't want to imbue too much power in any particular resident of Waterford Court, and you asked us, as legal counsel to the village, to propose some additional language or revised language that maybe created a little bit more of a requirement in terms of what was going to be necessary to allow the residents to override any changes to the agreement. We proposed language that essentially requires one-third of the residents on Waterford Court to affirmatively say they disapprove of any proposed amendment in a set period of time, which was 30 days. We required that there's one vote per property, because that was also an issue that you had raised at our last meeting. And one vote per property, and they had 30 days from the time they were received notice of the amendment to weigh in by giving a written notice to deliver to the mayor at Village Hall. That is kind of the very broad, overreaching description of the changes we made.
And we did hear from several residents in writing. I could read those first and then open it up to the residents that came. First of all, a letter was sent out to all the current residents, and there are 16, I'm going to count them because I'm getting different numbers. 16 residents. These are the residents who are currently living on Waterford Court.
One of the letters is from the 17th.
Right. Who owns the property and does not live on the property yet?
Well, it's being under construction.
So he owns the property.
And the house is under construction.
Okay. So let me, I'm just going to read these letters real quick. They're very nice and short. This is from Amy Foti, F-O-T-I. I apologize if I'm not pronouncing that correctly. My husband and I are out of town this week, so we're unfortunately not able to make the meeting tonight regarding Pinecrest development. However, we would like to make known our objection to the amendment allowing changes to be made to the agreement unless six people on Waterford Court object. We feel there should be no change made to the agreement, even if one person objects. Thank you for including our comments at the meeting tonight. This one is from Johnny Williams. And it says, my name is Johnny Charisse Williams, and we reside at 3970 Waterford Court in Orange Village. We received a letter from Lisa Perry regarding the specifics of the Pinecrest development. I personally will not be able to attend the meeting on Wednesday evening, but wanted to be sure that my voice was heard. My stance is that I definitely object to any changes regarding the current Pinecrest development agreement. My stance is essentially that we, the Williams family, do not want to see, smell, or hear anything related to the development creation and object to any changes. Please feel free to email or call us if you need any clarification. And then the third letter is written by the homeowner who currently owns property and is building there, Anthony Muska. And it says, "My wife, Molly, and I are not yet residents on Waterford Court, but we are building our home at 3920 Waterford Court and hope to take occupancy by this evening, by this coming July, I'm sorry. We are currently out of town and will not be able to attend the meeting on March 5th. But this letter, we wish to tell you we are 100% in agreement with Jerry Gottlieb and Rick Sonkin. We firmly believe that no changes should be made to the Pinecrest Development Agreement and that the amendment on page 14 should allow."
Would allow.
Would allow. Thank you. And so those are three comments I heard from others. I appreciate everybody's input to this. It's an important topic. So if you are here from Waterford Court and would like to make a public comment, that would be great. Please come to the microphone one at a time and do that.
I guess my first is not a comment, but a question. I just want to know what your all concerns are about having one person object to something going on or sure. Any changes in the amendment.
I'd be happy. After the last meeting, at which I suggested that we bring the Waterford residents in to talk with them, among others, I thought about this in great detail, and I prepared a proposal that I did want to read this evening to the Waterford residents. I don't see too many of you here, but I'd like to explain what's going on in my head. And I don't know that this necessarily reflects all the final thoughts I would have on the subject, but as I say, after our last meeting.
Mr. Braverman, can I just interrupt? Is this pertaining particularly just to the third party?
Mm-hmm. I would say so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody got a copy if they want to follow along. If they don't, that's
just
okay.
Well, but it's long and
I mean, everybody on council, I'm sorry I didn't, I was negligent to provide more answers. Anyhow. Let me begin by repeating something I've said several times from these chambers, namely how much I admire what the residents of Waterford Court have done for themselves and their property interests through negotiations with David Lewandowski, the developer of the Pinecrest project. He was eager to fulfill his dream of a project in Orange Village, and the residents of Waterford Court were anxious about protecting themselves and their neighbors from the most adverse prospects of the project proposed. He was overzealous, and the residents were very concerned. In order to ascertain the cooperation and votes of the residents, David made promises to the residents to protect them from excess sound, odor, traffic, etc. And he promised to construct a large mound so that the residents would not be able to see the project when completed from their second floor windows. The residents made extreme demands, and the developer conceded to most, if not all, of them. Of course, Village Council was not part of these negotiations and had no say in the results. Now, Council for the developer and for the Village have placed the contract before Council, a contract that includes the provisions and promises agreed upon by the residents of Waterford Court and by the developer. We've discussed the contract in Council several times, and there have been quite a few changes to the language along the way. However, there's still one provision that has become particularly controversial. And that provision has to do with the process for amendments to certain specific provisions or paragraphs in the contract that concern the current residents of Waterford Court. In effect, these certain provisions cannot be amended without the consent and agreement of all of the residents on Waterford Court. In other words, this language gives each current, and then I ask in parentheses, and future, I don't know the answer to that, resident or owner on Waterford Court a veto over any amendment to certain provisions in question. At a previous meeting of council where this language was discussed, I spoke on behalf of the residents when others on council wanted to make changes to the amendment process we are discussing. I thought the residents of Waterford Court ought to be advised of council's concerns and be given a chance to speak with us before we, the elected officials of the village, make our decision regarding this issue. Since that meeting, I've given a good deal of thought to this subject, and that is how I came to the proposal I am supporting this evening at our work session in March, this evening. Let me start with the circumstances that concern me. Giving a veto power to each resident on Waterford Court seems to me to be overreaching and excessive. In our community, only the mayor, an elected official, has a veto power over legislation or our decision-making, and her veto can be overridden by a vote of five or more council members. Why should each resident on Waterford Court have such unfettered authority? The language in the contract not only gives a veto to each resident of Waterford Court, but it gives a veto to the attorney for the developer, who happens to live on Waterford Court at this time. And while I'm not questioning the Burns family in any way, what if the developer or one of his minion decided to live in Orange Village and bought a home on Waterford Court? This would mean that the residents of Waterford Court and the developer would each have a veto power over these provisions, but the village would not. This does not seem fair or appropriate to me. Put another way, if you were me, an elected official of the village, would you sign off on a contract that allowed such a result, however unlikely? I think not. Then I am concerned about the phrase "all the residents" and what that really means. Does it include renters, purchasers, or owners of homes after the project is built, banks, or other financial institutions who might come to own a home on Waterford Court as a result of some circumstance? The phrase is simply full of issues for me. Even if I would agree with others that the current several resident owners of homes on Waterford Court are rational, wonderful citizens of the village, and I don't dispute that, I do not know what the future would bring to that neighborhood and how this language would bear on future decisions. A veto for everyone on the court, Waterford Court, presents other problems. For example, suppose an amendment is suggested that neighbor A agrees with, and his neighbor B decides to vote against the amendment because he or she is having a tiff with neighbor A. What about procrastinators? What if the amendment is good for the village and good for all but one of the residents on Waterford Court who just does not see what is in it for him or her? I could go on with other horrible hypotheticals, but I will leave that up to you and others at your pleasure. On the other hand, I'm concerned that your negotiations with the developer do not go for naught. Therefore, or instead, I'm proposing the following solution. The only Waterford Court residents who will have a vote, and not a veto, but a vote, on amendments to the certain provisions of the contract are those named persons, humans, not corporations, not trusts, who live on the court presently. This would not include those who reside there or buy there in the future. Neither would transferees, proxies, or assignees be given a vote, nor would anyone who is employed by or has a significant business relationship with the developer or his transferees, regardless of how or when that they got there. Whenever an amendment to a certain provision of the contract with which we are concerned comes up, the village would send a ballot to those named persons entitled to vote, and the amendment would have to be adopted by at least two-thirds of those who voted and returned returned their ballots to Village Hall within 15 days of the date of the letter. This would mean, of course, that one-third plus one of the named residents would have the ability to stop the amendment in its tracks. However, as I noted earlier, even the mayor's veto power can be overridden by five or more of the elected council members in the village. And that authority should not be waived legally, may not be waived legally perhaps. It turns out perhaps it could, but at the time I wasn't fully aware of that. Not to be relinquished in this context. Therefore, if one-third plus one of the residents of Waterford Court vote against the proposed amendment and the village and the developer are for the amendment, which would probably be a precondition before the vote would even be taken, then it would go to the village council and it would take five votes to override the vote of the Waterford residents. Only then would the amendment be adopted. I think that this solution protects the current residents of Waterford Court sufficiently and yet permits the village to maintain governance over its territory as required by its charter and Ohio law. Please share your thoughts with me and the other members of council quickly, since a decision will have to be made on this issue quite soon. And what I'm saying, Jerry, is, you heard what I'm saying, but I think that this issue of whether or not council, even in a contract like this one, should waive its authority to make these final decisions, just as we have the authority to make final decisions over a veto by the mayor, an elected official, I think we can't give that up, either in this case, And I don't think we should give it up as a matter of precedent. I think it's bad karma to start giving up your, have the elected officials of the village give up certain authorities that are granted to them by the charter and by the law. And for that reason, I'm much more sympathetic to the amendment as it's been drafted in the current draft of the document than I was to the all the residents language that was previously in the document. To me, that's overreaching. Now, I guess the problem comes from the fact for me that, you know, what if, I know it couldn't happen, but what if Mr. Lewandowski had promised you
It's Walensky.
Walensky, I'm sorry. What if Mr. Walensky had promised you 10% of the tax money on the project? What if he had said that and you said, "Yeah, this will be great. That'll all that money not given to you, but it'll be devoted to Waterford Court and the maintenance, the approval, whatever it might be." Obviously, that sounds irrational, doesn't it? And therefore, you would say that would never happen, and I would agree with you. It wouldn't happen, and it shouldn't happen, and this council wouldn't let it happen. But unfortunately, I think that a veto of an amendment to a contract that involves the village for each of the residents on Waterford Court, and not knowing what that would mean, future residents or not, I find that to be overreaching and excessive. I can't get behind it.
Well, here's the issue that the way I see it. When this thing was first introduced, we were made certain promises, not only by David Lewandowski and his team, but by the city. We were promised that the first thing that gets built is the mound and the wall. We were promised that we wouldn't be able to see anything out of our second floor bedroom window. We were promised we wouldn't hear, smell anything. And we basically sat on our hands and said, okay, this is good for the village. We will not actively campaign against this because we are protected. Now, all those protections are up for grabs, far as what I can see. Unless you want to take things out of there that cannot be changed, such as the mound, the size of the mound, because according to what I'm reading here, that the demolition requirements up for grabs, reporting requirements, insurance and indemnification, we negotiated with the developer, and I don't see why the city would even question this. This is not only in the interest of Waterford Court, but also the interest of the city, that the developer has to come up with a bond to make sure and assure us that no matter what happens, the mound, wall, and landscaping get done. So if you want to start taking things off the table, I don't know what your concerns are that we would vote down.
But the point is, I don't mean to cut you off, but we don't want to, I'm speaking for myself, obviously. I don't want to take anything off the table. I think that if a third plus one, as I put it, but whatever the right number is, of the residents of Waterford Court responded to the letter that we're talking about, regarding the amendment, and said no thank you, and perhaps some of them would be kind enough to give their thoughts on it, I think that this council, which we're also asking you to have some confidence in, just as you're asking me to have confidence in every last resident of Waterford Court, would not veto the decision, if you will, of the Waterford Court residents without, an extraordinarily good reason.
No, but his concerns are all still protected in the agreement.
They are all protected in the agreement.
The construction sequencing, but all of that is still.
But those are things that we as third-party beneficiaries were given in the agreement, and those could be changed. Unless you want to say, unless you want to say the construction sequencing can't be changed, installation of a fence, payments of performance bond, removal of debris from our houses if the builder causes excess debris, buffer size, hours of work. And I understand everything. I understand what your concerns are, but you have to understand what our concerns are. We basically agreed not to campaign against this as long as we had certain protections. Now you're saying to me that city council can come and make changes to those protections.
No, I don't think we're saying that. No. I think we're saying
those
that you
protections are maintained in this agreement. What we're specifically talking about here is where circumstances may arise during the course of the development construction, where some amendment may be necessary, that a process for that amendment needs to be looked at in an appropriate way that is
So why don't we put in the agreement that those protections that we were promised will stay in place? Is there any objection to that?
You know, it's,
why don't we put it in the agreement that those things can't be amended?
I think the easy knee-jerk reaction is to say, of course we could do that. However, I think you have to keep in mind that we don't all have crystal balls, and if we did all, they wouldn't all see the same thing. So, I mean, we don't know what the future is going to bring, and therefore, while I'm totally committed to the list that you read, all other things being the same. But I can't guarantee that something won't happen in the future that would cause that to at least be called into question.
Well, once the mound is built.
What if we wanted to do something more significant?
As far as
those protections are.
I believe what Jordan had drafted with Rick says that if something has to be changed in order to assure that we can't see anything, that would be allowed. Am I correct in that assumption? That's what we talked about today.
I'm not sure.
You think about anything hard enough and you can come up with new things to think about. During the course of planning for the project, it occurred to the development team that the mound landscaping and wall design that had been the product of efforts of engineers and landscape architects and architects may not be sufficient to protect, to buffer the homes on Waterford in the event of a change to the plan, the plan for the development. The village's zoning code allows for changes to that development plan, and it anticipates that the buffer might need to be altered in order to assure that all of the protections that Jerry described exist. The problem was that the development agreement and the declaration of restrictions that dictate the manner in which that buffer is to be constructed didn't allow for any flexibility. It said you must build the buffer like this, you must landscape it like that, and the wall must be like such and such. And so we've proposed some language, and we've been batting it back and forth, mostly between our office and Rick Sonkin, who's informally working on behalf of the Waterford residents. I don't think he's been retained by any, just to be clear. To reach some amendment of the declaration and the development agreement to allow for that change. So this is an instance where before the development agreement has been finalized and signed, we've anticipated something that otherwise might require an amendment like is being discussed now. We are anticipating a change to the mound and wall and landscaping as a possibility in order to make sure it works, not to reduce the protection it affords, mm-hmm. but to make sure that it does exactly what Dave Lewansky has said it will do. And so maybe this falls into the category, Mr. Braverman, that you were describing. This is an instance where, again, but for having occurred to us now, would require an amendment and be subject to whatever amendment provisions are ultimately settled on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an amendment, I think, to the benefit of the Waterford residents, because it's a revision that will assure that the buffer works the way everybody wants it to.
So you want to allow amendments that go one direction, but well, not amendments that go another direction.
Well, I think everybody here wants to allow changes to make sure the buffer works, not allow changes that would reduce.
I have total confidence that none of those point, and I'm not speaking for everyone here, they can speak for themselves. I was just reelected. As long as I'm here, those things in the document are not going to change.
Unless
someone points out to me that a change is necessary for, as I say, an extraordinarily valid reason in either direction. I'm not going to ask the developer to do something above and beyond that's not necessary because a group of people have said let's do it, and I'm certainly not going to I'm certainly not going to say no to a group of people who, following whatever process we finally agree to, say that the amendment's not good for them. I'm right there with them.
And the only thing I'd say again, I don't want to.
And I know you've never written a document that has all in here like this. I mean, and I can't help it that Mr. Lewinsky agreed to that phrase, but it just does not cut it for governing the village.
I don't want to tread on the amendment issue itself and the manner in which that can be exercised. The only thing I will say is that the example that I just gave is the sort of change that could come up at a later date. But to be clear, the development team doesn't have any intention of asking council, which would be the first step mm-hmm. in an amendment here, asking council to reduce the buffer so that it doesn't serve the purposes for which it's to be created. First of all, your zoning code, which takes precedence over all of this, requires that same kind of buffer. But beyond that, I want to be clear. The amendment, and Jerry and I spoke about this earlier today, whatever the amendment provision ultimately says, the amendment provision is not in the contract as a means of avoiding obligations that are in the contract. It's to address circumstances that, as smart as everybody who's looked at this is, can't anticipate today. It's not an escape hatch. We don't view it that way, and frankly, more important, I don't think that this council views it that way. Right. So I guess I'm saying this as much for my neighbor's sake as anything else. I don't want somebody to come into this and think that the amendment provision in this contract, which is, this is a unique amendment provision, but amendment provisions in contracts aren't unique. This isn't intended by the developer, and I'm pretty confident it's not intended by the village, as a means of avoiding those baseline obligations with respect to
no.
sight, smell, sound, or frankly, the details of that. I just want to be clear about that, because I don't want somebody to have the impression that we're standing here vying for amendments.
That was never my intention.
No.
So
understood.
I think
we've
gotten a little off track, though.
Okay.
And
let me
understand
something.
What I just want to do is gather people's comments. Your neighbors might be here, and they might want to turn tonight, too. And then to move on to some further discussions.
Well, I have a few more things I want to say on this. So basically, in this agreement, Waterford Court, being the third-party beneficiary, has certain provisions that were put in there. So what provisions would you anticipate changing?
Right. Instead of asking questions, will you form your comments into comments that you wish?
But I thought this was going to be an open forum, from what I understood. So I just want to know what you anticipate changing. I don't see why we can't have these things still protected.
They are protected.
Yeah.
But no one's proposing any changes to those.
I understand nobody's proposing it now, but
you're
the door is open for them to be changed.
You're an experienced businessman, okay? And I know that, and probably others in the room know that. You've never seen a contract that doesn't have an amendment provision in it. Now, anybody can ask the question, well, if you guys have put together this great agreement that's absolutely, ironclad, airtight, waterproof, and is perfect, why would we have an amendment provision in the document? That seems kind of illogical, because we don't know what's coming down the road. Every document has to have an amendment process.
I understand that, but you told me, and nobody spoke up that said they would change any of these things that we were given as third-party beneficiaries. So why do even have the ability to change it? I mean, you're not going to change the size of the mound. You're not going to take out the bond to make sure the mound gets built. That would be foolish for the city or us. You're not going to remove the fence that kind of protects us a little bit while this thing's being constructed. We were promised, and in every meeting that we had here, the construction sequencing started with the mound and the wall being built.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that I would anticipate possibly changing are the hours of construction. And I don't think anybody on our street would have a problem with that unless they had, and I'll give you a hypothetical situation. Let's say I'm having a charity fundraiser and the village says, hey, we're gonna add 2 hours a day instead of ending, I think it's 5:30. We're gonna add at 7:30 and this thing's starting at 6:30. Well, I'm gonna object and I'm gonna say, listen, can we, on June 22nd, I have this thing at my house, it's a charity fundraiser, can we change that? And what rational people would do is say, okay, we'll make sure that they're not working during your fundraiser. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all.
Well, all it would take one of your neighbors is to prevent that. Anyone who wasn't interested in having the fundraiser in the backyard under the original document.
I'm saying I agree that it
under the original document, which is what I was reading when I came
up. It shouldn't be unanimous consent. It should be if a no vote counts as a yes towards the village. If somebody doesn't vote, what I'm saying, the way it's structured now is that everybody has to vote unanimously for, or I'm sorry, the way it was structured originally with between ourselves and the developer.
One person votes no under the original. That kills the amendment.
Correct. Correct.
Don't you find that overreaching a bit?
But these things were promised to us, and nobody's objecting to any of these things, so why even?
We're not going to change any of those things. I mean, I think
let's put it in the agreement that those things will be changed.
But it's in the contract. Everything in the contract is in the contract.
But the amendment says that anything could be changed.
No, the amendment says that there's a process by which changes can be made.
Right, but
it does not say we're going to start changing everything. It doesn't say that.
Well,
I mean, do you think the seven people sitting up here are going to make changes glibly?
But let me ask you something. Hypothetically, three people from council resign, one gets sick, or four people resign, we have an all-new council here.
Mm-hmm.
They decide, well, I don't care what Herb Braverman said. He resigned. He moved to Florida,
And what if the rational Jerry Gottlieb sells his home to God knows who says no to everything?
I'm not going anywhere.
I understand that, and we're not. That's the problem. You can't predict the future sufficiently to make even ask the question you're asking of why don't we just put things in black?
But basically, all these provisions in this agreement have to do with the construction sequencing, and once the mound is built, we're pretty much out of the picture. As long as we don't see anything, hear anything, or smell anything, we're out of the picture, and you're not going to change that. So, I don't understand what. Out of all these things, the village would want to change. That's what I'm trying to get at.
And I can't tell you because I can't predict the future.
All right, Mr. Gottlieb, can we see if other people would like to make a comment? Thank you. Is there anybody else from Waterford Court that would like to make a comment? Please.
No, I give my time to Jerry. Mm-hmm. Bill Wolf, 3955 Waterford Court. I'm just here to say that I support whatever Jerry and Rick have previously arranged and wholeheartedly support them.
Yeah.
Thank you. And thank you for coming tonight. Anybody else? Yes, sir. And thank you for stating your name. That's helpful to our record. So if you would mind, please stating your name and address.
I'm Rajesh Agarwal. I live in 3940. I totally agree with what Jerry said.
Thank you.
And I totally support him. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. I'd like to go around council room, unless Mr. Goss, you have anything to add to what's been offered here before I go around to the council people?
I guess the only thing I would note is I think Mr. Braverman raises a fair point that it is impossible to predict the future. I also think Mr. Gottlieb raises a fair point in saying that once the mound is built, many of these issues, once construction is complete, many of these issues and the need to amend the document becomes relatively minimal. But I also think it's important to note that the change that I think we're going to talk a little bit more later that the developer is proposing is to one of the third party beneficiary provisions. It's actually to two of the provisions. And if the agreement stays as it was drafted a month ago, where only one person need object to deny the change. In this particular instance, if one person on Waterford Court said, no, I'm not good with any change to the document, then the proposal that the developer is making now, that is going to be discussed a little later, which is probably beneficial to most of the residents, if not all the residents on Waterford Court, would not be adopted. So My point is only to show that it actually does go both ways. There could be changes to the agreement that could be beneficial to the members of Waterford Court, and if only one neighbor on the street decides, for whatever reason, they don't like it, it would subvert the will of the remaining members of Waterford Court. So in that limited instance, it would actually be beneficial to the residents of Waterford to have more than just one person who can object. That's the only kind of perspective I wanted to add.
Thank you very much. All right, let's start with you, Mr. Duber. What are your thoughts so far on what we've been talking about?
Are we just talking about this?
The amendment, and if you want to talk about possible solutions, we have a couple solutions on the table. Or to keep it, I'd like to hear what your thoughts are to keep it to what the...
I mean, in terms of just this issue, I mean, I think I said my piece at the previous meeting, you know, I think we should defer somewhat, to our... I think we should defer somewhat to our legal counsel, and, you know, I think the way that it's been amended is proper. But...
Six votes,
yes.
Six votes, three on one side, is that what we talked about? No, that was something I read from Mr. Sonkin, I think. Okay, so... Six votes was what?
I mean, I guess I don't really understand Mr. Braverman's suggestion completely. I mean, it basically, you know, it says that, you know, just the individuals who are currently living there, what happens if everybody moves? I mean, does it go down to the, you know, I think there's too much unaccounted for.
Well, those examples were intended to show why not knowing the future means that the council should retain some say over the final decision-making process.
I agree with it.
It's only analogous to the how this village decided in its charter veto power should be handled, and that is by a vote of 5, a supermajority, obviously, of the council members. And that's all it's about, is just adding that step. Whether we do 3 or 6 or 2/3, or that to me is still quite an important discussion. But the notion of, as a matter of precedent, giving up the authority of council to override a veto within the governance of the village, I think that's a little extreme.
I don't.
And
no,
somebody
I'm
else
not,
will throw
I'm
that back in the face of the next
I'm
council,
not,
they won't like it.
I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm not arguing with you on that. I'm just saying I don't necessarily understand your proposal here in the amounts you're accounting for. But, you know, I think that I agree that council should retain, you know, some power here. I never like anything, any contract where one individual can, you know, make changes unilaterally. And I 6 is how it is. If we want to change that sum, I'm not opposed to that. I'll defer, like I said, to, you know, our professionals to an extent. I'm never a fan of a contract where it's a unilateral decision. I have other issues I'd like to just bring up, but
is it about the amendment
just
in particular?
Just sequencing of demolition, construction.
Let's go through the amendment first, and then we'll get to the other things. Mr. Barron?
I'm certainly not known as being a legal scholar. I'm more known for just having a lot of common sense. One of the things that
is
I've...
Is there a difference?
Quite a bit of difference. One of the things that bothers me, as Mr. Braverman has mentioned, is we don't know what's going to happen. So in my professional life, I've always tried to think of what can blow up and what will blow up and how do we handle those problems. And for some reason, this came to my mind. While constructing the mound, the excavation uncovers an artesian well, and it floods everyone's backyard, but not one resident's backyard. And that's the resident that goes all the way to the back with a patio, and he does not want his patio destroyed. Do you want him making a decision that you cannot stop that water? You know, if we would all exist under a veil of ignorance, not knowing if we live on Waterford Court or Laurel Circle, not knowing if we're a resident or a council person, and we just think common sense-wise, what makes sense? And, you know, my final thought is, your council, your mayor, we're here to protect you. We are not here to take advantage of you. There is no benefit to us. What could be a benefit? I see someone shaking their hand. You may interrupt me and come back to the microphone. There is no benefit. We don't get reelected. We don't get anything done. What's the benefit for making the residents suffer? That's about all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Barron. Mr. Braverman, you...
I pretty much said...
You did. Well, thank you, and thank you for bringing this up. Mrs. Cluter?
Thank you. I'll preface this by saying I don't want to take anything away from the Waterford residents.
No.
Whatever you've got in situ, whatever you've got in place, I'm supportive of that. When this was brought up, and I think it was my colleague here who brought up this whole question of the approval of all residents for the amendment, it did pose some thinking. And I agree with Herb that we as legislators have to be proactive in protecting ourselves. When you stood up, Jerry, and said, you know, we don't want to lose anything, that's not my intention. I want you to have what you've agreed to have. But we, as a cohesive group up here, have to think in the best long-term interest of the community. And something, yes, potentially could arise. And then how do we protect ourselves? Not taking anything away from you and the proposals that you've made with your developer. So that's where I am with this. And whichever number we crunch out to make it protect future incidents, so be it. That's where I am.
Thank you. Mr. Klein?
Well, to begin with, as someone who has been deeply involved in the development of this project from the outset, in crafting some of the zoning language and working on planning commission, meeting with the developer and his design staff to look at how this project is going to be designed, and helping to craft some of the language that's part of this development agreement and all the work that's gone before us, I think it's important to note that my reason for being involved in all of that is on behalf of the village. Our role here at this dais is in the interests of our community. Our role here is to look out for the interests of our residents and the value that we can create for the community in the long run. And to that point, before any amendment takes place, whether it's voted on by the Waterford Court residents or it's voted on by somebody in Orangeburg, it comes here. It's going to come before the Planning Commission. It's going to come before the Design Review Board if it's something that has to do with vertical construction, vertical design. It's going to come before council as an amendment. And maybe simultaneously it may be going to the Waterford Court residents. But if this is the gate through which it must pass, regardless of what it is, and we, I think, on this board, on this council, take that responsibility quite seriously. And we're not going to capriciously let something change that really has a negative impact to it. And before it even may even get to you, very often, you know, and I've been in the practice of building and designing shopping centers for almost 40 years, and things change. There isn't one that I've ever seen built that ended up the same way it started on day one. And we have to recognize that there has to be an opportunity to make a
I tend to view this whole conversation or discussion about this amendment provision as a matter of process. As Mr. Braverman mentioned, a contractual clause which allows us to consider things we might not have known about or thought about at the time the contract is ultimately agreed to. We need to have a process, an appropriate process, to handle potential changes if something happens that requires our review of the developer, however the process comes. And as it was originally drafted, you know, the single effective veto power of an individual in Waterford Court seemed inappropriate. Just didn't seem to make a whole lot of sense to us. And that's why we've moved to language, which I think is much more appropriate, allows multiple levels of review if something changes. The language I think we have in there now suggesting that at least 6 Waterford Court fee owners at the time of any proposed amendment need to object to it for it to be stopped, I think is an appropriate weighing of the balance of the interest of everybody, and it certainly provides us additional insight or input into what the issue might be. You know, in a world, in a series of hypotheticals, if an amendment is proposed, if the village, if, you know, all of the processes of the village go through it and agree that it makes sense, we then propose it to Waterford, and an excess number of Waterford Court members say, no, this is not a good idea, we at least have the opportunity to say, oh, let's rethink about this sort of thing, if that were the case. So I'm comfortable with the language as is currently proposed.
Thank you. Well, let me start by thanking you all again for coming and thanking the residents who took the time to write a quick letter to us. To
Don't you want to tell us where you are on this?
Yep, I will.
Oh, okay.
If you don't interrupt.
Well, no, I thought you were.
So, you know, at first, I'd like to back up just a little bit. At first glance, last month when we were talking about this and Mr. Braverman brought up the concern of the word all, I was like, you know, my first impression was if this was what the developer worked out, which is very hard for him to maintain, I thought, then that should be the end of it. But as we talked more and more about the possibilities of what it really meant, it became clearer to council that our perspective is a little bit different. And we are here for the Waterford Court residents, but we're also here for all the residents of Orange Village. And we have to act in a manner that supports all the residents and not just favors certain residents. And it was an interesting dilemma to us all, as you've heard us all think about and talk about over the last month. And I am agreeing with all of my colleagues up here that we have to do what's best for all the residents, including you. And this protects, my opinion is that we should go with I think 6 is a fair number. That's what our legal department has recommended too. And I think that it protects both the other residents of the village so that not one person can stop this development instantaneously and postpone it for who knows how long. But also, it protects you all and your neighbors, and not just allowing one person who may not be you, but a future person come in and be able to make changes that stop the progress of this development. So with that, I'd like to just go around the room to us again real quickly. Are you all in favor of what Mr. Goss had proposed in the 6 thing? In 6 residents saying no?
I think there was a comment that was made first.
Do you want to speak again? Go ahead. Will you please come to the microphone? Mr. Gottlieb?
I just want to reiterate that I know I'm kind of disappointed. We had talked about 3 on the western side of the street, which would be the people that are impacted the most. I think what you have to keep in mind, it's understand you have to weigh in for the whole village, but it's, we're on the front line. We're on the front line here. It's our quality of life that is going to be determined by these protections that we have. That's why we put them in there. Nobody was trying to stop the development. And what I still don't understand is once, as long as, the only thing that we have to weigh in on are the provisions that protect ourselves. And nobody seems to be objecting to this, so I don't understand what the main big issue is. You know, Rick had proposed, and I think when I talked to you, Mayor, you said you thought it was a good idea that three people on the western side of the street or